This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
All right, I need to confess something real quick. Something I'm a little ashamed of, but we family, so I can do that, right? I need to confess that even though I have heard the phrase used in context, I still have no idea what no cap means. None at all.
What is TWS podcast, episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rant with the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
What the fuck do I tell my son? I want him living right, living good, respect the rules. He's 5 years old and he's still thinking cops is cool. How do I break the news that when he gets some size, he'll be perceived as a threat? I'll see the fear in the eyes. It's in their job description to terminate the threats. So 41 shots to the body is what he can expect. The president is set, no matter if you follow the law. How do I give my son pride to make him swallow a door? Damn, fuck the pigs, I think the pigs killed Big and Pac too. If they didn't, they know who did, they got to. Who they serve with the tech, nigga, not you.
That's not funny. I don't know why I laugh. There's a method to my madness, though. That song is important to the topic today, but we'll get to that later. Welcome to the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I am your boy, J.Dot Flan, representing the White Pants Society. And I want to thank you. Thank you most especially for giving me some of your time, spending some time with me to just chat about whatever. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I appreciate it. So, yeah, we got a special topic today. It's a little easier for me to script this one and flesh it out, figure out exactly what I was going to say, because I'm going to stick to one topic. I'm going to try not to move around too much. But before we get there, I got to go through the usual stuff. So, I do want to give a Chef Elise update. See her this week, and we spent our usual father-daughter time, and it was dope as usual. I'd like to report that she is moving to garnishes now. Like, I guess she's gotten her dishes down and now she's like working on the extras. She's doing garnishes, man. This week she used the top of a strawberry to like garnish the cups that we use for our weekly smoothie tea party. Of course, you know, since she's five, she took it too far. So eventually she pulled like all the leaves, all the green off the top of the strawberries and decided to decorate my room with them. She even forced me to like participate, give some input on where she placed the different leaves. And yeah, I know I'm a punk ass dad, but you know, I just didn't want to like kill her creative spirit. Like she felt like she was doing something and I didn't want to take that from her. Like she was decorating it. She came up with this idea all on her own, but now I had like strawberry leaves, basically garbage all over my room. But I don't know. She did almost like flip that switch from being like supportive dad, because I try to be the cool dad, right? Because you know I pawned the discipline off on her mom. You know, since I'm only with her like once a week, I try to make our time like straight fun and games. Like, so I'm trying to be the cool dad, the fun dad. We get to, you know, do the cooking and the experiments and all that. You know, that's my niche, where I'm trying to fit in. But she almost got me this week. She almost made me flip to the other side. We were sitting in my room. We were watching Wee Bear Bears, which is another one of those cartoons I would probably watch even if she wasn't here. But it's super dope that she enjoys watching it with me. So you're watching Wee Bear Bears and we eating Smart Food popcorn. Y'all can cut me a check. But that white cheddar popcorn, we're eating that. And so at some point, like, she asked me for a towel or something so she could wipe her hands, like, get the cheese off her hands. And I ain't gonna lie, I told her to wipe her hands on her pants. That's what I did. I was like, man, you know, go ahead, just use your pants, wipe your hands off. You know, fuck y'all, I was tired. But she, like, half-assed did it. Like, she just, you know, she did a little, like she didn't want to get her pants dirty or whatever. Or that like her whole goal was just to get me to get up and, you know, have to go get her a paper towel. And so she looked back at me like, look, Dad, it didn't work. My hands are still cheesy. So, you know, I decided I'm sitting there like I could either have an argument with her, you know, about, you know, the efficacy of wiping your hands on your pants. Yes, I used the word efficacy. Couldn't even use it twice. Shouts to Chad. I had decided to try to slide that in there. But I could either have a conversation with her about like whether or not wiping your hands on your pants, you know, was an effective strategy or not. Knowing that I was probably at some point in the future going to tell her she wasn't supposed to do that, or I could get up and get the paper towel. So I got up to go get the paper towel, and, you know, she looked at me and was like, silly Dad. And I swear, like, in that moment, like, I felt the sparks going off. Like, I spun around, like, I'm going to say, silly, you know, I know I said, like, silly, and then I cut myself off. I don't know what I was getting ready to say after the silly, but I was like, silly, you know what? And, it almost ended this week. Like, I was right there. It almost, everything almost ended. It would have been no food truck, no podcast, no none of that. She almost got me. I had to remember that she's 5, you know. And we're gonna have a conversation soon, though. We're gonna have a conversation about how to talk to Dad and how not to talk to Dad. I wanted to tell her, talk that shit to Andrew when he be pushing you off the swing. Keep that energy then. Like, don't be a punk then, but have all this stuff with Dad. Side note, this is to Andrew and Andrew's parents. Hopefully, Andrew, you're not listening because this is not a podcast for you. But Andrew's parents, if you're listening, which I know you're not, please go back and listen to my old episodes so you can understand how I feel about violence and kids. I know everybody else is tired of hearing me say it, so I'm not going to go back through it, but I'm just like, get your child. Get your child. Bad things will happen. Anyway, parenting does play a big role in this week's topic, so I want to keep it moving. All right, so what I want to talk about this week is I just recently, just a few hours ago, watched a movie that I've been waiting on for, I want to say a minute, but I don't think it's been that long. I can't remember when I first saw the trailer, but I got excited from the moment that I saw the trailer. And I was, you know, real interested, you know, waiting to see this film because I felt like it was going to be impactful. It was needed for the time, and I couldn't wait to kind of see the full story that was going to be told. And the movie I'm talking about is American Skin. This is a Nate Parker film, you know, and I'm not going to get into the whole Nate Parker thing. That's a whole nother episode. Maybe we'll do that episode somewhere down the line. I posted the trailer when it came out, and I mentioned something about Nate Parker in the post, and I watched my like followers drop significantly. So there is a Nate Parker conversation to be had, and a larger conversation involving that, but this is not the episode. We're gonna do that later. I just want to talk about the film, because I feel like I'm not sure it lived up to all my expectations, but it was still a good movie, and I encourage everybody to watch it so we can have the discussion that I think the film is trying to get us to have. So I apologize in advance. I don't know how funny this episode is going to be. That like this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. You know, hits close to home. It's probably not going to be a lot of jokes being made because it's not funny. But I may make a joke. Understand, I know that it's not funny. So I'm not making light of the topic. I'm just making myself feel more comfortable as I talk about uncomfortable shit. But basically, the film follows a father that lost his son when, you know, the police pulled him over. And basically, the son failed to comply. The son was like 14, he was unarmed, but he had his phone in his hand. He was filming the whole interaction with them and the police. And, you know, his father's like pleading with him to put away the phone. But I think, you know, the kid kind of felt he was within his rights. And, you know, fast forward, the situation ends with, you know, him being shot and killed by the police. You know, definitely something that's a topic right now. It's definitely an issue that we're facing right now. And that's why I was excited when I saw this movie. Because you had to go further in the premise. The officer gets off, you know, basically the grand jury decided not to indict. And so he gets off, goes right back to work. And the father, who is a veteran, ends up, you know, getting his friends together, and they basically like storm the police station, and they hold a trial in the station with the hostages and some inmates, you know, that they had, you know, I guess in lockup, serving as the jury to decide the fate of the officer that killed his son. Like I said, it's a good movie. I felt like it was a little short, only like 90 minutes. And I almost was at a point where I was like, man, this is pretty anticlimactic until the very end, which I won't spoil for you. But it definitely an impactful film. But to tie it in to what I was saying about parenting, there's a scene in the movie where Nate Parker's character, the father, the main character, is flashing back to talking to his, having a conversation with his son about the police. And basically in the scene, his son is like on a video call with another friend, and he's going over, they're studying for some, you know, some schoolwork, whatever, studying for a test. And, he's trying to convince his friend that, you know, you have the constitutional right to resist arrest, resist unlawful arrest. And, he's reading the section, which I don't think is in the Constitution, but from the research I did after the movie, this is how I love movies to make me go do some research or something. But the research I did after the movie, what he was reading supposedly comes from a judgment that was made based on a judge's interpretation of the Constitution. Whether or not the judge actually said these things or actually was a part of the judgment, it's kind of up in the air. I haven't found any real evidence that it is. And I found several people that said that it isn't, that it's they're misquoting the thing. But basically it was saying that you have the constitutional right to defend yourself, even to the point of, you know, killing the officer to prevent them from unlawfully arresting you. And I'll say this, that this is one of my, if I have a major criticism of the film, it would be that moment right there. Cause I feel like they let that information go unchallenged, you know, and from the research that I did after watching the movie, from everything I read, it doesn't really ring true that you can lawfully resist arrest, even if the arrest is unlawful. There's a lot of gray areas in the law. There are a lot of laws that specifically say lawful or unlawful, you can't. And there are other laws that make it a little, I don't know, not as cut and dry as that. And the movie really didn't provide any of that information. So for anybody who is thinking that, like, you can resist arrest, you have the right to resist arrest if it's, you know, an unlawful arrest, I don't know, the argument hasn't worked in courts very often. So I wouldn't go there. But yeah, I think the movie maybe needed to give a little more. The father gives his explanation as to why the rule doesn't apply. You can see him getting angry while the kid is like reading this stuff. And, you know, and he's telling his son to stop, and his son is like blatantly being rebellious, as if, like, you know, that idea of the older generation has lived this way and accepted these things, for whatever reason. I don't want to put motivations on people, whether or not they think we did it because we're just sheep or whatever. And I'm identifying with the father. And so I identify with that older generation. And it seemed like it was one of those, you know, kind of attacks. Like, he was being rebellious because he was like, no, you know, this is the reality. Forget what you've been told. And I've heard that a lot. It's not what, you know, you don't know what you know. You know what you've been told, you know, but it's like, forget what you told. You know, this is the reality of the situation. And the father's getting angry. And, you know, eventually he gets him to stop. And what he was trying to explain to him is that he needed his son in that moment to understand the difference between what is and what should be. And, you know, I've talked on the show before about like living in the shoulds and the shoulds, you know, what should happen or what shouldn't happen versus what does happen or what can happen. And the danger of living in that should versus, you know, reality. He explains to his son in the scene that while those are rules, those rules weren't written with us. And by us, I mean black folks. They weren't written with us in mind. That's a harsh truth, man. Like that's a harsh truth. America, all of America needs to realize that some of those things we stand upon as the foundations of democracy and liberty and all the things we stand for. When people were writing these documents and saying all these profound, deep things about, you know, a man's inherent value, they weren't talking about all men. They said all men created equal. This is why we talk about Black Lives Matter, because the term all has been used a lot in this country specifically, and all did not always include us. And that's what the father is trying to explain to him, is that you know, a lot of that stuff they talk about as rights, they didn't have us in mind when those rules were written. Yeah, I don't know. It was something, you know, that you could tell the father, you know, that he understood, but now he had to pass it on to his son. And I think some of the anger in the scene was not being angry at his son for being rebellious and for not wanting to listen and for thinking he knew better. But it was anger at the situation that he has to pass this on. You know, he told him, you know, like, do whatever they ask you to do so you can make it back home to me. Like, he had to pass this thing on, this limitation of what we deem as freedom. He had to pass that on to his son for self-preservation. And that's a very bitter pill to swallow, you know. And it's even harder when you have to then feed that to your children. Like, but it's a pill as black people, and I'll say as a black man specifically, that we receive so early in life, that by the time you're a father, it's just instinct. And you're not even conscious of the unfairness of your daily life until somebody like your son, you know, points it out through innocent eyes. They don't understand the world the same way you understand the world. And so they're like, man, that doesn't make sense. And it's become so normal to you that you forgot it doesn't make sense. And man, you know, and that's the anger point. You know, that's the anger point for a lot of people. When you see people and they're angry and they're upset, you know, it's that reminder that the stuff you do every day is really sick and twisted, is really perverse, you know. But it's something you've been taught to do, you know, just to live. And coming to the understanding that the rules don't matter, it didn't matter what the rules said, you know, we're different. And, you know, and when you live in the reality of being different for long enough, when you see marches, when you see riots, when you see the little vignettes they play before the sporting events, when you see the commemorative stamps, the T-shirts, when you hear the speeches, read the poems, but still live in the same reality, you know, you end up falling on a phrase that was used in the movie in a very, you know, profound scene. And we say a lot in my house. And I think the phrase was intended to like soothe people, to help you to accept things that you think we can't change. But it is feeling more and more like a detriment to me now, like a way of passing off things that you feel like you can't change. And, you know, the phrase I'm talking about is, it is what it is. Like, we say it all the time. Amari Hardwick's, you know, character is the one that said it. Amari Hardwick's in the movie, and his character is the one that said it. And he was saying it in regards to his decision to like refuse further treatment for cancer. He was suffering from cancer and wasn't going to do the treatment anymore, you know. And it was, you know, kind of like, it is what it is. Like, I'm accepting this because I feel like I can't change it, or I don't want to go through what it would take to change it. And strangely enough, Amari Hardwick was in another movie that explained like this sentiment perfectly to me. He was in Sorry to Bother You. And in that movie, there's a line that says, you know, when you give people a problem with no solution, eventually they just get used to it. And that goes back to what I was trying to say. Like, it sucks as a parent to feel like you got to pass on something that should have never been passed on to you, that should have never become a thing to pass on. But you got to pass down this knowledge so that your kids can live. You got to continue this cycle. And we have kind of accepted it because it doesn't feel like there was a solution. It didn't feel like there was any way around it. It was no, you know, the alternative was the fight was going to cost lives. The fight was going to cost your children's lives. And it was like choosing between fighting or living. And I mean, that's an oversimplification because I don't know. But I think this is a movie that people need to see because I still feel like in this country, you hear people say things like, I don't see color. In the movie, someone said, I don't see color. And they say it almost as if they think that's a virtue. And it's not, because we need you to see color. We need you to see that the world is different for us. We need you to see that the rules are different for us. And we don't say that, like, you know, we want to play the victim. You know, yes, you know, many people have learned to live and thrive in spite of, you know, these things. But the fact that a hurdle can be overcome is not a good enough reason to leave it in place. Or even worse, pretend like it's not there. Just because there's still a path to get around it doesn't mean you leave that thing to get around. We shouldn't have to take the detour. We shouldn't have to, you know, to do the extra steps that other people don't have. So yeah, you know, you can still be successful, but there's a barrier in the way that you have to figure out a way over. And it's no reason for us to continue to leave it up, you know, just because somebody overcame it. I hear that a lot as like, you know, the excuse for, or the evidence that racism doesn't exist. You know, look at so-and-so, but I'm pretty sure, you know, what it took for them to get there was a little bit of extra effort, and it shouldn't have had to take that. So again, like, I think what the movie was trying to do was just raise this awareness, you know, and that's what people are doing right now. They're not trying to play the victim. We're trying to raise the awareness. We're trying to get people to see that there is a problem. There is a difference in the world that we live in, you know. I don't know. Hopefully this is not a false equivalent, but I'm gonna throw this out there. I remember hearing in a while back that like rape and sexual assault, you know, those things, we have to stop viewing them as women's issues. They're men's issues, because for it to change, the men have to change, not the women. Like, you know, for that stuff, that culture to die, men have to be different. Women shouldn't have to be different to not endure that kind of stuff. And I feel like it's the same thing here. We are trying to find a way to get you to see this so that you can be as inspired to make the change, because the change needs to be made on that side. And that's usually how these things work. You know, we have to make our problem your problem, or it stays a problem. And so, yeah, right now, there's a lot of focus, you know, on appealing to people through, you know, compassion and logic. Like, can't you see what's going on? You know, you're watching the video, you know, you've seen the things, you know. And I don't know, my fear is that, like, when you run out of, when you run out of options to appeal to compassion and logic, that's when you see people take, you know, that's when you see people do things like this father did in the movie. He wanted to use the system. He wished he could have used the system. And then he realized, you know, he came to a point where he felt the system was never designed to work with him. So he made his own way. He had his own trial. And I don't know. I don't want it to get to that. The other thing that was said in the movie that I thought was pretty profound is there's a kid that's doing a documentary, and he talked about patriotism. And he asked the question, like, how do you expect, you know, black people to be patriots? How do you expect, you know, certain people, you know, to look at this country as great when they know what the country has done and continues to do? And that's not to say I'm not proud to be an American. And I hate that argument that, like, if it's so bad here, then leave. Like, no, if I love this country enough, I'll fight to make it better. I'll fight for that improvement. That's patriotism. I love this country enough that I want it to be better, that I don't want it to just sit in this funk, whatever this is, to sit in this wrong and become complacent and okay with it. You know, I've seen the memes that says, you know, racism is so American that when you protest racism, people think you're protesting America. And in a lot of ways, that rings true. Because the moment you say something is fucked up, somebody's like, well, you can leave. And it's like, no, my ancestors helped build this country too. So I got a vested interest in this country being great. And to be great, we got to face our issues. And again, I think movies like this and the discussion and the things I'm saying right now are just to get, you know, people to see. I'm going to end on this, you know, but on the topic of patriotism, here's the crazy thing about what happened at the Capitol earlier this year. I guess this would be episode to go out in February, so I couldn't say earlier this month, but earlier this year. It's a crazy thing. You got to understand this. We don't get taught how to thrive here. We get taught how to survive here. We get taught how to be successful in the realm of what we deem is possible. You know, for me, like personally, I know that I wasn't aware of how much I wasn't aware of what was possible until I got around other people. So I got around other groups of people and I saw how they moved and how they operated and the things that they felt not only were open to them, but that they deserved. They were almost entitled to them. You know, things that I didn't even deem as possible, things that I didn't even know were possibilities. Like, I didn't even know I wasn't getting this stuff. I didn't even know it was a thing to be had. And for them, it was like, hell yeah, it's a thing to be had, and I better get it, you know. So I say that to say that in all honesty, I think the reason we've tried to compare, like, the Capitol thing to some of the other protests, there's been a lot of comparisons for that, whether they, again, false equivalent or not. But I think the reason that you didn't see something like what happened at the Capitol happen during those protests last year, it wasn't because there's not the same anger toward the powers that be. You know, it wasn't because there was not the idea that there was a need for revolution in people's minds. Matter of fact, black, white, whatever, burn it down and start again has been the consistent response I've gotten from people when I start talking about how we move forward from all this divisiveness, you know, that we see right now. You know, people are at a point where I don't know how we get back to equilibrium. We just got to burn the whole thing down and start over. So there was definitely that idea of a need for revolution, a need for drastic change. But none of that was the reason, in my mind, that what you saw at the Capitol didn't happen during those protests. I think part of the reason, you know, was that it didn't feel possible. it didn't feel like a possibility for us. We don't have the sense of entitlement in this country that would allow us to storm the Capitol and then act shocked when we get, you know, pushed out and maced. You know, be confident enough in that shock to give your name and the city you live in on camera. Like, they pushed me out and maced me. Like, we laugh at it because it is fucking funny, but we laugh at it. But that's a person that don't live in the same reality we live in. You know, if we stormed the Capitol and got pushed out and maced, we'd be shocked. We'd be shocked that that's all that happened. But that's not the world she lived in. And that's what I think this movie was trying to say. So if you get a chance, definitely watch the movie. I know it's on Amazon Prime. I bought it today. And, you know, I don't know. I think we need to have a Nate Parker conversation, because I guess that'll be a lot of what prevents some people from checking out the movie, is they don't want to support, you know, Nate Parker. I think we need to have that conversation and the larger conversation that goes with it. I'd love to do it here on this show, on my other show, Define Functional. Not sure what we'd be defining, but I'm gonna think on that. I'm gonna figure that out. But yeah, if you're interested in chatting with me on that, if you're interested in being that part of that conversation, yeah, you know, bang my line, hit me up, flan@whatistws.com. You know, yeah, look for What Is TWS in all your social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and hit me up there. But yeah, I'd like to have a conversation. I think we need to have a conversation. And I would like to feel like this is a forum that could accommodate such a conversation. It's what I've tried to build over the, almost embarrassed to say, 4 years. But anyway, yeah, I'm off my soapbox, you know. Time for the usual calls to action. If you like what you heard here today, please subscribe. And, you know, and if you're feeling generous, you know, leave me a rating and a review. Let me know what you liked. And if you didn't like, you know, what you heard, I'm guessing you don't want to subscribe. So you can still leave me a review. I'm a say pass on the rating, but still leave me a review. Let me know what you didn't like. You know, I appreciate it. I like feedback. If you're looking for fitness and nutrition guidance, you can hit up my man Zaya Fitness on Instagram. He's the fitness guru, Zayah Fitness. Yeah, man. He hasn't gotten me to eat anything vegan in a while. I think I've just been avoiding him. But but yeah, if you're interested in things involving fitness or nutrition, definitely reach out. He can help you reach your goals. If you're looking for ways to be impactful, if you're looking for ways to make change, I don't want to say the right way. If you're just looking for ways to do it, ttcharities.org, ttcharities.org. Donate what you can, time, money, books, clothes, a like, a repost, a share, you know, whatever it is helps. I still got merch. You can help support me financially. I hate saying it like that. I like to think that my business model doesn't require you to spend any money. If you just listen to the podcast, I can make money that way. But I do have merch, and I think it's dope. I think some of the designs are dope. So, yeah, I say all that to say, whatistws.com/store. If you use the coupon Hoodie Season, HOODIESZN, all one word, no spaces. Use the code Hoodie Season, you'll get 20% off your order. I got hoodies, I got sweaters, I got long sleeve, I got short sleeve, men's, women's, cups, mugs, wall art. It's a lot of shit up there. 20% off everything. But yeah, that's all I got. Appreciate y'all for listening. If you made it this far, we can be friends. I don't know. But yeah, as usual, until we speak again, be safe, be light, and be easy. I gave the whole episode to Talib, so we're gonna rock out with some Talib. Holla. Sound lost, rhyming is a memory. These are semi-lead line rap niggas, it's designed by the enemy.
stop giving them your soul. Gift wrap, prepackaged, fabricated shit wrap. Running through you like fast food, Big Macs. You don't want no problems, fix that. All the time that you spent listening to that bullshit, now you ain't never gonna get back.